Officers take Chelsea and their roles starting in January, actually. And it goes for calendar year or two. Officers are normally elected for 2 years. Okay. And what happens then is people are asked, so what's required to be a member of the board? Okay. To be a member of the board actually requires that you have attended at least one of the Cho's workshops. Mr. Cho's workshop, Dr. Park's workshop, Jim Chang's workshop, they're all certified teachers. And the teacher, I guess, I'll be one also. The other part is you have to pay dues. Dues right now are $60 a year. Now, people have asked, oh, why $60? So we look at that expense, what it costs to run the organization. And it costs about close to $2,000. Okay, this includes the accountant, website, just basically overall management. So carrying out some of the projects that the board agreed to do, some things like Taste of the Hawaiian Range and Earth Day, I think we were trying to promote what we're doing. Our organization, if you don't know, has three goals. One is education, second is promotion, okay? And third is education, promotion, and what's the third?
Research.
So essentially that's what we're going for. So what we're doing now is we're going to try and really formalize it. Okay. Right now it's been a completely volunteer board. Everybody's including their own time. We're going to ask, and we're going to ask Tanya to say, you know, if you're interested, please see Tanya because she's decided to stand up. She's a nominations chair. And
I'm trying to get people to say that they want to be part of the board and have a slate that we can vote on.
Next month. Yes, ma'am.
What are the requirements? I mean, time-wise?
The board meets once a month. Prior to this. We just meet just before this meeting. Second Tuesday every month, just before this meeting. We found that the easiest time for everybody to make it, so that's why we decided that's the best thing. Okay, now I've also had people say, oh, it's too expensive, I can't afford the $60. And granted, that was true. But they love Drake's workshops, and so do I. And if you can't afford it, but you still love Drake's workshops, for heaven's sakes, come. You don't have to pay anything. You know, as long as Drake is in charge of anything, I mean, everybody's welcome to come. Okay? So it's only the board, and frankly, the board is looking more at more commercial people, for which $60 is just a drop in a bucket. And we're trying to develop the website, which would include directions for growing certain crops, which have to be translated from Korean right now. We have something that they gave us from tomatoes, but they're looking at other things like cabbage, cucumbers, mangoes, maybe if they have papayas, sweet potatoes. We're not certain. Because Kim Chang said she's seen that, she reads Korean, she's going to be a translator by the way. So essentially that's what it is, if you're wondering what it is. But so that'll be open to the members as far as coming to this meeting and announcements on the website, you're more than welcome to it. But there'll be a certain portion where, of course, only the members will be able to see it. But for most of the people who aren't commercial, maybe it's not worth your time. I don't know. But there are also some very serious home growers who want to know how to grow their stuff better than their neighbors. It may be worth your time.
You know, I want my neighbors to do it just as good as all of us.
So that's what our goal is. And the bottom line, we're just trying to perpetuate Master Cho's ideas. And at least initially, in the next few years, we do not hope to we hope not to divert very much. And real frankly, because most of the directions are from a temperate climate and we're in the subtropics, they have to have adjustments. And that's where we're going to be looking at people's life. Where did John Cavalli go? He disappeared from Okay, John Cavalli is a commercial grower.
They picked up some cages.
Oh, okay. And other farmers who are doing it right now. And we're going to learn from them. I do some stuff myself, with very little success, by the way. And I read the book, and rewriting the book, as a matter of fact. And I keep commenting to children, there's certain parts, if you read the textbook, where the grammar isn't exactly really clear about what you're supposed to do. So I'm hitting it and say, what do you mean by this? And I'll be frank with you, there's one sentence I looked at it and I emailed him back. I said, I mean, his daughter, I don't know what you mean by this sentence. I can't understand it at all. And it didn't make sense. But maybe in Korean it made a lot of sense. But translated into English, it made no sense whatsoever. But this is the kind of things we're hoping to do and we'll have available to the members. Okay? So that's all I want to say. That's my spiel. But this evening, what we have is that there are several of our members who went to a workshop in Kohala about 2 weeks ago, Drake?
Yes.
2 months ago.
No.
Oh, it's last week? Friday, October 28th.
Yeah.
30th.
Yeah. It was a workshop that included people from all over the state, I'm understanding, and they were trying to determine what direction Cho'o Global Natural Farming should go. Our role, we're Cho'o Global Natural Farming Hawaii. Okay? And essentially our job is overall, and this, at least that's what they told us, certifying people, they overall umbrella. That doesn't mean that they will not have Cho'o Global Natural Farming Kohala, Pahala, Kau, or whatever it happens to be. And I'm sure on the other islands like Oahu and Kauai and Maui, they will have their own individual groups. But our goal is sort of like an umbrella thing. However, we're not going to tell them how to run their operation or get around. It just says, if we have a question, I guess we'll become the arbitrators. Okay, so, and that becomes part of what the board does also. Okay, so I just want to explain to you what it's all about. So this evening, I believe Dr. Park, well, these three people here, Drake, they've all been to that workshop. So actually, I'm going to just give them the floor, let them explain to you what happened, because I wasn't there. I'm sorry, I just came back from Asia. I had jet lag and I had a cold and I decided I'd be worthless there. Which it would have been regardless of whether it was healthy or not. And let them explain what it is and give you some ideas. And hopefully, I understand they also have committees. Maybe you can give us some feedback of what you think we should be doing as a group. Okay? So, if without further ado, if you people will come forward and we'll start.
Are you
drinking?
You ready to start? Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things we all did at Kohala, and this was the people that were invited were kind of the people who have been in natural farming since the beginning. And then also the people that took the advanced workshop. And in fact, everyone was invited, but we've been having a little bit of trouble with communication, finding the official channels to get to our members meeting. And that's really what we were meeting about, is how can we address these problems and how can we get clear communication through. And so that's why we decided to all get together. And one of the big resounding things that came out of everything was that Dr. Park is pretty much the man. He brought the natural farming here many years ago, and so we just all really wanted to thank him. And this is the second year of kind of having these monthly meetings now. And they've been consistently on the second Tuesday of the month, and we've stuck with that pretty much except for the only time when we were doing the Cho Master training. And now we're switching our location here for this renovation. But thank you all for making it out to 2 years of this. I see some new people here today. It's their first time to Fight Club. You have to fight. Excuse me, if this is your first time to Farm Club, you have to plant food. Right? Okay. So I try to keep these meetings kind of light and nice and fun. But we're kind of at a crossroads here in terms of natural farming is getting serious. Just by seeing how many new people are here and how many people have returned for 2 years, it's about time that we really get our stuff together. So again, that's what this meeting was about, was really like, where are we now, and where are we going in the future?
So out of those people that were invited, I think it was 20 people, right? So 20 people officially kind of attended this, and no one really knew what was going on before, just kind of that we were going to get natural farming organized. So it was statewide. There were people from Oahu and all over the Big Island, the Kauai people and other Maui people couldn't make it, unfortunately. So we all got together. Bob Egress, I think is his name, who's a facilitator. He's working with the CDPs and other things. He's a very professional facilitator, was there to kind of get the meeting and getting the juices flowing. And he started with just classic facilitation. We started with kind of the mission, the vision, and not just going, what is our mission, what is our vision. We played all these silly games and tricks and things and kind of got everything down on these big butcher papers and wrote it all up, and it was a lot of fun. And we really kind of distilled down what we were looking for with natural farming. And through that, we kind of just, like, I wish, I'll have Bob's official report pretty soon, and I wish I'll share it with you guys when we get that. I wish I had it here now, because then I could just read off kind of what we concluded. But what we ultimately ended up at the end, everyone wrote down their wishes on a piece of paper, and then we went to lunch. And then when we came back from lunch, all of our wishes were up on the wall. And so it was kind of like people wrote down, they're like, oh man, now that's on the wall. Like, and so it was this real honest, like, what do you wish for without it realizing what is going to happen? And from those wishes, we whittled it down to kind of four categories that need to be focused on. And those categories are communication, research and development, structure, and also learning centers and cooperatives. And so with those four aspects, those kind of all require resources and a few other aspects that are kind of tied into them all. But we then after meeting for 3 days, we did this now. 3 days of not leaving a place, you know, you're hanging out 24 hours a day with your friends. 3 days, we picked people to kind of champion these issues. And the communications team is being championed by Leslie Hall. The structure team is Jackie. I'm not entirely sure who's in charge of our structure team. I think it's Jackie, though. I'm pretty sure. Then Nona's also on that, and Nona may be in charge of that too. So it's either Nona or Jackie are in charge of that. And when I say in charge, they're kind of the champions, so they're kind of going to keep these things going. Research and development is Mike DuPont. And research and development is one of our huge focuses right now in terms of getting scientific data and getting papers written so that we all know that natural farming works. And if you don't know it works, it works. But we need that on paper, and so research and development is a huge crucial thing for us now, and Mike is doing a wonderful job. He has that really together. And then the Learning Center and Co-op is being headed by Leanne, I think. And that's to get in Kohala. They have Palili Garden, which is a project that started from David Fortes, who had 10 families and 10 huli. And Kohala's goal is to eat 50% from Kohala by 2020 or 2015 or sooner than later.
Yeah.
And so his goal to reach that sustainability is that they start with 10 huli, 10 families, and then the next year they're going to have 80 hulis. And then the next year, each time it multiplies by an exponential growth factor of 8. And so they're able to really multiply this food up. And Palili is a natural farming model farm. Master Cho was there to bless the opening. And great luau and all kinds of good fun. But it's really coming along. We were there out in Kohala to check on it, and it's the kalo is amazing. The families are still into it. In fact, like more and more people are like, hey, how do I do this? And want to get in on it. So Leanne's kind of with that as kind of the learning center that's been established so far. We're kind of working with that model. And then...
Is it only cow?
No, because I have a pig and a chicken. So I have fish too.
And the fish, yeah. And the bee. Or the bee.
And so those are the champions that have kind of decided to take a lead on those. And everyone's coming from many different organizations to kind of come together to really see, like, how can we get natural farming together and going. But it was only last week, right? I mean, it's only been about a week, and... So we're still getting all that settled, basically. But that's kind of what I have to report. Do you guys have anything else to fill in?
Basically, you covered it.
Yeah.
We've got to come up with something within the next 60 days. We have to come up with something to the board within the next 60 days.
And you are in
the... I'm in the research and development. We were able to get a small grant that went statewide. So the four counties are involved. Each county has got about $35,000. And they were out there picking some people to do a quarter acre demonstration using natural farming versus what they were already being, what was already being done at their farm. And so far we've got seven on this island. And it's far reaching because we went from dracaenas to orchard crops, to above ground planting, to, you know, orchids. So we got all kinds of crops coming in with Korean natural farming methods being used. And the ultimate goal is to look at yields and look at economics to try to figure out what is the difference between using this method versus the traditional method, what they're actually doing now. Preliminary data from a farm I've been working with in Waianae, there is no challenge with the traditional method. The guy is just blowing out yields, he's blowing out economics, and right now the legislature is looking what's happening in yield. In fact, Senator Dela Cruz was at our meeting in Kohala, and he couldn't believe what he was hearing from the people who were there because there was so much excitement. And he said, you guys are just like a bunch of revolutionary people out here who have turned agriculture around. And it brought tears to my eyes because it started to make me think about when I was a kid thinking about protecting the island. Because I was part of the Kohala de Ohana. And going back and protecting the land and keeping the land fruitful for our food. Right now, I sit in a position where the state is looking at biofuel crops or food. And the economics on either one is not there yet because they haven't addressed the fertilizer prices. And the fertilizer prices is killing all the farmers, and they're also going to blow out the biofuel guys because they cannot figure out how they're going to grow these crops efficiently. So the educational program that we got to Senator Dela Cruz is, Senator Dela Cruz, you can go without food for about 5 days, and then you will die. But you can go without biofuel for a long time without electricity, but we still gonna be alive. So your thing is, you gotta start looking at agriculture for what? For food, rather than biofuels. You know? Because once the thing goes to biofuels, you're gonna take a lot of ag land. It's already happening with my ranchers over there. but they've given away prime land for us to fatten our cattle to put biofuel cheese in there. And they think they're going to be able to make money off of it. Kohala, they already pulled the plug on their so-called biofuel project up there. So we know the thing is not going to work. So that's one of the major emphasis that we're looking at, is to try to figure out the economics and the yields. And John Cavity is a so-called champion in that. I just talked to Jackie, and Jackie them, I got to congratulate them, because they called the other day and I said, you know, Jackie, you need to set up an appointment with Derek Greason and see if you can get it to him. She set up that meeting, they're going to have product. So it's going to happen. You know, we are starting to get our product, natural farming, into some mainstream areas. I see Drake sitting down, pouring rain, sitting down there trying to sell the inputs at the farmer's market. And he's doing a real good job out there trying to get the word out about natural farming. You know, I had the guy from Mano Lakes visit Kim. And Kim did such a good job. When I left, he jumped in my car. He's telling me, Mike, you think I can do on backyard pea green? Everybody's house in Honolulu. Like Kim's on. I said, oh, go for it, bro. What's your question? The thing is, people are starting to see the message of sustainability. And that's where we are heading towards this natural planet. And, you know, I owe everything to this man. That's the research and development team. And our ultimate goal is, those of you who can make the food safety meeting this Thursday, if I make it, because the question is going to be asked, how does compost fare towards food safety? I need to know that answer. Because if they're going to put a roadblock up there, I've got to figure out what we got to do to get the IMO 4 approved to food safety measures, yeah. And that's one of our challenges.
Can you expand on that? What do you mean by that? The IMO 4 is not food safety. What do you mean?
Okay, there's no standards when you make compost.
Uh-huh.
And I in Maui I gave this scenario. The question was asked to me, if you use animal manures, how much animal manures do we have in the state? And can we utilize it to make a compost to utilize on our plants? And my scenario was, well, 12 years ago I did a study, because we were having so much problems with the Department of Health trying to get compost approved, especially with animal manures. So since there was no standards and we're having so much problems with the producers, they were rejecting everything that we turned in. I pulled the producers all out of the meeting and they said, each one of you, you go to Walmart, you go to Kmart, you go to the different garden supplies, I want you to buy one bag of compost. Okay. When you come back, meet me back up here at the extension office. So they all went out there, they all bought a bag. Okay, we'll split the bag, we take one sample, we send it to Honolulu for having it analyzed. The other one, we send it to Ohio State. Analysis. 3 weeks later, we get the analysis, we put them together, we hire the student help to make a spreadsheet. On the spreadsheet, I say farm A to H. Then we go back to the Department of Health. I sit down with them, I say, you know, we really took it hard when you guys told me that our producers cannot produce the compost to your satisfaction at the Department of Health. You're really trying hard to get up to the goal so we can sell this stuff. Here's my 11 farms. Tell me which ones can sell, which one cannot sell. So this one, you cannot sell because the pH is too low. This one, you cannot sell because you get too much salt. This one, you cannot sell because your germination trials show that nothing grows. This one you cannot sell because it's got some nutrient deficiency. This one you cannot sell. This one definitely cannot sell because it's salmonella. So I looked at him and I said, oh man, I flipped the paper over and I showed him. Hey, my farms is all from the mainland. You're allowing the farmers from the mainland to bring stuff into Hawaii, but you don't allow my farms to sell it. You just told me that all the stuff from the mainland is all illegal. How come you allow them to bring them in? So I just told him, I like an equal playing ground right now. You let the guys from the mainland come in, you let us produce. Otherwise, you regulate them just like us. Till today, zero out there in sampling from the mainland. They're still not doing them. They're bringing them all in, but they're regulating our farms. Okay? And the excuse is, well, we don't have the personnel to go out and do that. So the question that got to be asked Thursday at this meeting is, what is the standards using compost for food safety?
Okay.
Okay? That's all the question got to be asked. And they said, no can. You ask them why and how can we do this? What type of analysis do we need to do so that I can get it? And we don't say IMO, but that's the overall goal, is to get IMO to the point where it's legal. The food
where
safety.
And when? What time? And
it's at the Komauna Ag Complex. Thursday, it costs you $35, but it includes lunch. And they're bringing all the big whips down from Honolulu to tell us what the regulations are on food safety. If you are really interested in agriculture, because all the farmers are shaking like a leaf on a tree, because they're scared that they're not going to be able to pass the standards. If they can't pass the standards, they're out of business.
What time?
Starts at about 8:30, I think.
Starts at
10 to 3. 10 to 3?
Do you have to be pre-registered?
You can register at the door.
Okay.
It's $15 for farmers.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's worth your time to come to this. Just to listen. And, you know, like, there's all kinds of food safety programs, but the one they pushing is Primacy. And that's pushed by Safeway. So if you're going to sell your product to Safeway or Whole Foods, you got to go to Primus.
What is Primus?
Primus is like the elite regulatory system to get food safety certified.
And they charge you a lot to regulate you.
So most farmers, they can probably do it, but once they pay the fees to get certified, they're not going to be making money. That's why. That's why the challenge is there. So our ultimate
idea is to put the small guy out of business.
Well, that's the conglomerate doing this show. The big farms doing this because they know the small guy can't do it. Same thing with the slaughterhouses. They put all these heavy duty regulations that the small slaughterhouses will not survive, so the bigger ones get bigger.
Right. So what about the exemption for $500,000?
That's got to be discussed because the new laws will change.
It is?
Yeah. That's why they're having these.
Since when?
I don't know. That's why they're having this seminar. That's why the guys are coming in to the seminar. Things going to change.
There is
going
to be
more attention. And I'm kind of concerned because a lot of the food safety problems came from using an animal compost. So there was something close to an animal farm that caused the contamination. Okay, whenever you see that kind of stuff, that's why Joe's method of raising pigs and chickens is so valuable. Because the manure and everything is all contained. You don't put them on the crops. Okay? And it's very, very easy to do. And I got pig farmers converting right now. You know, they came in and they couldn't believe what they saw at that tank farm. Like I told you, the guy, Atlanta Lakes, the largest feed supplier in the state. After he left Kim's place, he was telling me he like put one small pig like Kim's place in everybody's backyard in Honolulu. So, you know, mindset is starting to change.
Is there any concern about the genetically modified protein in the manure that are being used for
Not that I know of. The biggest concern with the organic people is what type of pharmaceutical products they use to show up in the system.
Well, you know, all the big people, you know, like manure, or whatever, or anyone who's feeding them corn or soy that's been, you know, the proteins don't break down, so they go through the whole chain. And they end up in the compost. And they're in the animal.
That's why you got to grow a cattle, yeah.
Yeah.
Grass feeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the latest research on genetic modification is that they're finding BT DNA in pregnant mothers and it goes through the fetal barrier. So they're turning out human beings down in a chemical factory.
It's another reason why to convert to natural farming.
So are there any more comments from...
Oh, yeah. So, like, Leanne over there and
yes.
Myself, and I forgot who signed up for Learning Center and the co-op. Well, I always, you know, we need to spread this natural farming, you know, as fast as we can. So my vision was always having a Learning Center from the beginning, okay? But anyway, so what I was doing is like giving a class, and then now it's spreading up really fast. Like one project, like working with homeless people, David Morty is working on it right now, and then another project is like working with elementary school children, and then David Wong is working on that. So, and then also, one project with a microphone with a small poultry, backyard.
We're just getting started. We've got 25 baby chicks.
Yeah, so see, that's we teach those workshops. It's just satellite. Those people who learn, they're going to be, you know, spread more this natural farming way of farm. Yeah, so to me, we are, I'm on that stage right now, but I really want to see, you know, the learning center. And then Leanne is writing one grant right now, yeah, about that. So let's take turns. I don't know about grants, I just teach. I'm just a helper. Do you want to say something?
Well, sure. I'm with Floyd at the Jay Foundation. We're a nonprofit whose mission is to support agriculture and collaboration with agriculture education for all ages, but focusing on our younger level. And we got introduced to natural farming through Donald Piqueta and Mike DuPont and Dr. Park. And we just thought, you know, this is what we want to push from our organization to teach youngsters and all ages natural farming. We really think that it can help our economy and our agriculture industry. So we've just been excited about the movement and doing workshops with some of Kim and Dr. Park and Max Control as well. And we want to move forward with this learning center idea. We did get a grant last year to do a model farm slash learning center out in Kohala, in the North Kohala area. And it's been successful so far, and we're working on expanding that project. And one grant that's coming up is a USDA community food program. And we're tying this into North Kohala area because their community came together and said in their community planning meeting that they wanted to adopt this goal of being 50% food sustainable by the year 2018. So in partnership with the Kohala community, we're working on this model farm learning center, and we're practicing and teaching natural farming as well as some other organic methods of farming, and doing community harvest events where community members come and get to participate in harvesting and taking home some of the produce that we're So that's the grant we're working on right now, and our hope is that by doing the successful model garden in Kohala, that we can use that information and replicate it in other communities that also want to have natural farming.
Is there any research about farming in areas that are mostly rock? And how to rebuild the soil? I bought the biopod and finally have a few grubs.
Yes, because my property is in HPP. I hardly have a soil. Yeah, so I live there, but since 1988, but this much, it's not even soil. It's just grass clipping, you know, piling up, and even that much of a kind of soil, you just propagate IMO4, and then the natural, I don't know, you took the natural farming classes. If you follow that method, you can grow stuff. I planted banana trees maybe 3 months ago. It's huge. You just have to. You will work if you follow this method.
And how did we find out about the classes? I'm Sterling. This is the second year meeting.
We announced through. Drake is our man. He's the one man, yeah.
Do you have any classes scheduled right now, Kim?
No, not this year.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Next class will be with Waimea. It's going to be December 10 and 11. Saturday all day from 9 to 8. Because they said the farmers don't have time to come in Friday. I'm going to do all day, Saturday, and then Sunday afternoon from 2 to 6. It's going to be announced, the Craigslist, and then I'm going to ask Drake to announce as well.
On the
natural the CTAR extension service, $60 for 2 days, including lunch and snack.
In
Waimea.
From Pacific Center. Pacific Center is right next to the Peace Station.
Yeah.
Does Kaka have anything going on this week?
Yeah.
Dragon Eye usually has a program that goes on, I think, every third week of every month on natural farming.
Third weekend
of every month.
Where?
Dragon Eye.
Oh, really? Where?
Dragon Eye.
Couple. Dragon Eye.
You might have to go to
our
website.
Yeah, just search for Dragon Eye.
That's in
Kapoor.
Because I also noticed on the website there's something going on December 17th in Waimako.
Genos.
That's Genos or no?
Yeah. I think that's still on.
Is that a class or that's just a...
I'm unsure. I'll find out and there'll be more details on that.
And you talked about Dr. Cho's, Master Cho's workshops. When are they? That's what you're teaching?
Because the Master Cho lives in Korea.
I was just going to add, had some inspiration to you guys that I can remember Master Joe saying that he wanted to buy all the lava rock land on the island and make it arable. with that farming. And I think there's a similar situation with rocky lands at what's that place in Canada?
University of Nations.
Yeah, and they had building topsoil with the method, and it accelerated for me.
We're raising mice.
But also, you have mulching, you know, green waste and all that. You still need to do composting and all that. This is just you know, one extra you do, but the live nutrient is not that nutrient. That's what he teaches in his class. The conventional ways, their nutrient is no life, but the natural farming nutrient has a life. It's living thing. Yeah, that's why it makes your soil, you know, make it better and better.
Something that just dawned on me too while I was in Kohala with meeting with all the natural farming leadership and stuff too is that IMO is a very, very, very advanced recipe. That to make IMO correctly, it's one of the trickier things. The rest of the ferments, the other calciums, those are easy, easy to do. The IMO is very advanced. And I've heard of a few people applying it incorrectly because they didn't correctly know how to make it. And so I just want to bring that up, that it's that the IMO, you're working with life, and the life, if it's not done correctly, it can turn into some not things you want to be propagating around. So before you make like an IMO, I really suggest you get good training from someone who's certified by Master Cho, which everyone in this room that's certified, advanced certified, raise your hand. So there's a fair amount of us around, so if you're unsure, when you make it, check these people out. And another thing that has come to is I think when I've been making IMO, I've been making it too hot. And I've learned that really it's when you make IMO correctly, it's a low temperature aerobic microbe. So that means it's around 107 degrees. Like when you get a fever and your body temperature goes over 107, your brain shuts down and your body does all weird things. These IMO are very similar. About 107 to 120 degrees is kind of their, where if you go above that, you're getting something different. So I know when I've been making IMO, my piles have been getting too hot. And also it's aerobic, meaning that it likes a lot of oxygen, so turning the pile more frequently, in my case, would probably be a good thing. But really, now that I really understand IMO, I'm like, wow, it's really pretty complex. Before I thought it was just easy. But the other point that came up is that natural farming is the only farming system where you can miss it by 50% and still be right there on par and make it. And so that's the counterpoint to the, you know, even if you miss it by half, you still got it. So, but really making it the right way, there's a really correct and right way, and that's what I'm coming to really appreciate about Master Cho, is that he really understands it really well, and there is a really precise way. And so when you're going to learn, learning from someone who's advanced certified is the way to really understand. That was just kind of dawned on me because I just wanted to share that. Before I thought, oh, it's no deal, but now it's like, it is kind of a big deal.
Well, that's good because I was trying to research on the internet and it showed how Master Cho asked that the formulas weren't put on the internet, that they learned from certified people, but then I found something on YouTube where somebody was showing how to do it and it's the way he said it was. But he was saying it got up to 140, so I'm glad that you brought that up. So, and the way he did it, it looks like it was easier.
Yeah, 110 degrees you need to turn.
I want to add something about the transmission of knowledge. Master Cho is a master. He's a master, and he has trained these people, certified people. There's a transmission of knowledge. There's an energy that goes with the knowledge. So it's nothing else, not just simple words of knowledge. It's the force that goes with the knowledge that's so important.
Well, it reminds me of the ancient Hawaiians and some of the things that were just passed down by word, not written.
I kind of summarized what we did in Kohala, but do you have anything to add to what you like?
I think my biggest, I mean, we talked about what we did and what we're going to do. I think I'll just add that I was really amazed at how we were a really diverse group of people from all different backgrounds, all different political and social sense, and we were all on the same page, completely together on everything, and it made everything, it was just amazing how well we worked together.
Usually when I go to long meeting like that, I feel really drained, but not this meeting. It rejuvenates you somehow.
Yeah, that was one of the first.
Yeah, that's the
I walked away and I was like, energy,
wow,
all right.
Yeah, it was like that. The first time I ever experienced it. Yeah, I go meeting, you know, like 1 week like that, like 9 to 5 stuff, when I was in the business world. But it's always so drained. But this one was, something shined on us. Some higher energy went there.
So I think we're all doing the right thing. And I think this is what we need to do.
Don't give up and keep trying.
Understand that because I'm short. I think it's a really amazing thing that happened. And I didn't expect anything when I started this one in 2005. That was, I attended a meeting in the Massachusetts in February 2005. And then I thought, oh, this is something that I want to do the rest of my life. And then first time that I asked Master to come to the United States, and that's Hawaii. That's, I asked him to come here. So that time, Mike DuPont and Dwight Sato and a few councilmen, Arakaki, and a few of organic farming farmers. It's about, I think, a dozen people came in, and did you came to that? I mean, not the first time. Yeah, the Tanya came too. So those, at that time, about, David, did you come to that? Yeah. So about a dozen people came, and then, you know, people thought, wow, that's, you know, I never heard those kind of story, but, you know, kind of big question about whether it's really true or not. But, you know, ever since then, it's really, really burning and really taking off. So I myself is surprising. This is not anything that I did, but I think since I'm a Christian, I think if God is leading this whole it's a very necessary thing. Because, you know, the food is very important. And since I'm a physician, not just any kind of food, but the food that makes us healthy is more important than any kind of food. So, in two aspects, natural farming does a good job. So I just wanted to share this with everybody. And my viewpoint is really, really instrumental, this one, as well as the Drake. I think, in, you know, not to mention the Kim Chang and Hubbard Bubba. I mean, this is not just, you know, spontaneous. It's just, you know, one after another. They just make it everything. Now, in Honolulu is now is igniting now. Honolulu, the young people went to this last visit, and they are really dynamic. So, I just want to introduce some of the things happened a few days ago, and that is we wanted to have a Koksum County of Korea to make this sister city relationship with the County of Hawaii. And what happened was 2 years ago, Donald Ikeda, our councilman, went to Korea with you know, with a group of us, about a dozen of 12, 15. And then, at that time, there was a mayor of the Koksum County,
what had happened was, you know, Master Cho has been teaching this on for the past 50 years. Nobody really recognized him. In fact, he's been persecuted because he's, you know, promoting no fertilizer, chemical, no pesticides. So those companies, big business people, try to persecute him and threaten him and to be killed, the whole family, because, you know, they're inhibiting their business. Anyway, one county mayor, which is Kosong Nakto Kokseong, he had a vision and he adopted this natural farming as his county project. And that was very successful. That was 2008. And because of that, you know, the other counties, oh, we want to tap this one. They don't say natural farming. They say the environment, pro-environmental farming. So this spread. So Kokseong County is the second really serious county to adopt this 2009. And they are doing very, very well. In fact, the mayor changed after 2 years ago. But the new mayor is a policeman, used to be a police chief. He didn't like it. So he fired all this natural farming staff. But all the farmers are really, you know, doing very well in here and there. So he's, I'm not going to get this, you know, going on. So he rehired now. So anyway, so this Kokseong County wants to have our sister-city relationship. And so we passed a resolution in our county of Hawaii with the mayor Kenoi's you know, recommendation. And so Donald Ikeda went to Kokseong with me this past month, and we gave that letter from Mayor Kenoi that we already passed a resolution that we want to have sister-city relationship. And they, the mayor, wanted to have that, but they have to pass also the county council. But in Korea now, county council and the mayor is not always that agree. They always, you know, fight each other for many various reasons. So they wanted to find out whether they can get the benefit out of this sister-city relationship. So they sent these four people as a representative to exploratory kind of you know, visit. So they, four people came in. One is councilman. The other one is administrative department chief. Third one is natural farming coordinator. He's been doing ever since he started. Fourth one is a civilian, but it's a district developmental committee. So these four people are very influential people of their county. They all came to find out whether they can get a benefit out of these things. And they were very, very much impressed because you know, they wanted to have sent some of the kids to have English, learning English, because all the Korean kids are now very, very interested in learning English. So they wanted to send some children to, and so I contacted the St. Joseph School, and they have very good program and very, you know, family-oriented program. So they had a well-oriented for the that part of the things they can get the benefit out of that, I think. And then they also wanted to have a tourism. They also wanted to have farming. But farming, they feel, you know, maybe we can learn from them, not they can learn from us. But they found out, you know, if we have five crops of the cabbage here, right? In Waimea, we can have five crops of Chinese cabbage, right? You know, Korea, one time last year, when there's a flood and everything, one head cabbage cost $15. But Koreans cannot survive without kimchi. No matter what. If this is the case, they may be interested in coming over here farming some, you know, Chinese cabbage. So when they need, maybe make a picture over here and ship it out to them. So, you know, it's they found out this is an interesting
place. They're very comparative there, you know, environment-wise, population size-wise, and things like this. So they're very interested and they're impressed. So I hope, I think it will pass their resolution. Then we'll be, you know, mayor and Dara Nikeda and what's the mayor's executive secretary, Takaba, and then Applegate, the George Applegate Tourism, and the, these four people wanted to go to, you know, representing our side and to find out, see how they look like. So these people will go back and forth. I think we will have a sister-city relationship and we'll have some benefit out of that because they are very, very, very well organized in the natural farming aspect. So hopefully that will happen. And then while I'm hosting them around, you know the Kohala, there's a Isle Harvest? Yeah.
Oh, Chris Trump.
Chris Trump. Yeah, they have 700 acres of macadamia nut fields over there. The son, Chris Trump, went to Korea with us this time. He's just completely sold out. So they're going to transform this macadamia nut into the natural farming way. So he actually ordered 20 tons of the IMO4 from me. So if they use this the macadamia nut with the natural farming way, and if it is successful, that's one of the biggest industries that natural farming will show that there is a good result that we can expect. And then I went into Honolulu. There is one school called Halolo School. They have about 20% Hawaiian descendants and 80% Micronesian. So lowest, poorest community. 8 years ago, that school was the lowest score in the grade in the whole state of Hawaii. That principal, the lady Ruth, last name is Stein or something, she's been working hard for that school kid. You know, this year, it's a top school in the whole state of Hawaii. Same children. You know what? She's teaching very, very practical things, including the agriculture, farming. Every grade they learn farming. In the first grade, I don't know the order, but the, you know, that's the conventional farming, second grade, aquaculture, third grade, you know, different. So they know exactly what they need to learn from the very beginning. And kids are almost like a college kid to, you know, present this or seminar. They were really, really, I was amazing. Even sixth grade, they have a robot. Robot, underground robot. They make this robot, and then sending down to the water to get the water sample, to analyze. Is it how much contaminated water it is, and how much the pH is. Oh. And then there is a one, one class is to making the car with the solar energy to go. I mean, it's a fifth grade, sixth grade. They are doing this kind of thing in just everyday things. So this is an amazing thing happening. And they just started introducing natural farming for them. So this is going to happen all over the place. And not only state of Hawaii, it's going to be successful. And then this can spread other parts of the United States. And right now, in San Jose, California, there's one person who had a certified advanced course came in. He's very active now in San Jose. And so it's spreading there. And I think LA is another place. And pretty soon, Chicago, there's a big church, what's the church name?
and they wanted to have natural farming, so I might be invited next year to go there to give some seminar too, in New York. And so I think this is the firing now, so this is not that I want to be proud of myself, but this is something I think it's very necessary, and it's really happening now. So hopefully everybody will feel good about these things, and then we can just share all this information with everybody so that we can, you know, be sustainable and self-sufficient, and not only just, you know, individually, but also, you know, whole our state of Hawaii and also all over the globe, I think. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Talk story and just keep the focus on natural farming a little bit more. I know there's a workshop at Sherry's. Maybe she wants to say a little bit about that, and then we can kind of grab some food. Does that sound good? Or you want to say about the workshop that happened at your place?
Sure.
Yeah, wherever, yeah.
I don't want you to get anything. I don't have much to say.
Okay.
On Saturday, Dr. Park was kind enough to come over, and his lovely wife, and some of you were there, and one of our biggest inputs is brown rice vinegar, and it's kind of expensive to buy in little bottles, and so he showed us how to make makgeolli, which is Korean white wine, and then we can make that turn into vinegar, and turns out it's really easy. And I have, we mixed up a batch, and it's at home, it's bubbling away happily, and, yeah, and now I don't have to stir anymore, it's ready to go, so on Thursday I'm going to strain it out, and set a little bit aside for me, and then let the rest turn into vinegar, right? And so, I want to do it again now that I know what I'm doing, and we can have, set that up, and I'm going to start doing introductory classes too, so maybe I should leave you my number, and I'll be doing that in Hilo. I just don't have any dates set up yet. So this is really exciting. That's another piece of the puzzle. Check mark. Yeah. So yay, let's go.
Yay. I want to remind people, if they are interested in being board members, to please come to me, because I need your name and you know, your willingness to be part of the board for this group. Thank you.
Yes.
I don't know if we're going to be able to next month.
Okay. Okay, so coming up, CGNF elections will be December, I guess. Sorry, Gary, if you came all the way out here for this specifically, but and then January I have Kalei Nu'uhiva scheduled, who is an expert with the Hawaiian moon calendar. She does like a monthly, you know, here's what's happening with the moon, and so I've asked her to come and talk to us specifically about planting with the moon and how that works. Because that's pretty natural farming. Master Cho definitely mentioned about planting with the moon, but didn't elaborate on detail. So this is a great resource to do that. And that's going to happen in the January meeting. I think it's about 11th, too. But,
thank you, Drake.
So, yeah, and if anyone has any other further topics you'd like to kind of go over for someone to speak, let me know.
You can see the... If you want to pay the due to the Kim Cham today.
But to qualify for CGNF member have to take this basic natural farming course first, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Then you can, is that what Dr. Patrick is going to be teaching?
Yeah.
Okay. And
how do we register for that class? Oh, you see this print list, and I'm going to ask
And if you would like to support the website, website specifically. There's this sweet little brown bag that's going to be sitting right there.
Okay. How do you look it up on Craigslist? Under what category?
Natural farming?
It's going to be,
I can't remember, but...
Farm and
garden.
Yeah,
what? And the Drake
site
Drake
will
site
have
is
going to
show it up.
Drake,
it's naturalfarminghawaii.net.
How many positions are there on the board? Or, like, are all the positions being selected?
Well, we need at least 7 members, right?
Actually, the course of the bylaws, minimum 3. Ideally, 7. That would mean everybody can have a chair. But there's more. I mean, really, just talking about international. But yeah, I think that's...
Okay.
I have 5 things.
Need to wait until after Dr. Schultz. I got to part this workshop.
For Tijana, I think of natural farming,
the
natural farming is underneath agent 015. And my name is Tanya.
I also brought some cassava starts. This is a golden cassava from Ginger John. And I also gave these out yesterday, Monday, at the Occupy Wall Street protest. And I've been going around just encouraging them to plant food and, you know, start with our roots and let our older brothers stand there for us, you know, follow us on the street.
What kind of food is it?
This is cassava. It's delicious. And I cooked it up over there. It's the one that looks like shredded potatoes. But let's eat. And if anyone's interested, just come. We'll just chit-chat, keep it natural farming.
It is a tree.
Yeah.